You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Coming to us from Tamaki Makaurau, we have the one and only Pons. Morena to you, how are you doing?
Morena! I'm so excited to be here, thank you.
Oh, of course, man, of course, I'm very happy to have you. We mentioned before, Auckland is ticking along, but you're thinking of leaving Auckland in the near future. Which is very, very
not really thinking anymore. Got my plane flights out of here, so I'm heading over to the UK to go see what if I can make a bit of a mark over there for a couple of years. Mm-hmm.
I think I read somewhere that a big milestone for you was actually working with a UK-based producer or DJ. Have I got that right?
Yeah, I mean, I've worked with a couple UK producers and it's always been amazing. And then also, like, touring around New Zealand with a few, like, Hybrid Minds have been a really big inspiration for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm just so excited to go over there and catch up with them and just get to know some more people. Mm-hmm.
See what the scene's looking like.
Yeah, I've heard it's healthy, so...
That's good. That's awesome. How does it feel to share the same artist name with the National Psychosocial Oncology Association in Aotearoa? Are you familiar with that? PONS?
I had no idea.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie, that's the first I've heard.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do they do?
Psychosocial Oncology, that's their thing. That's their... Yeah, which I'm not too sure what that is, but
right.
It sounds medical.
I'm not too familiar with what on earth is going on there, but I hope they're doing well.
Correct. That's when I googled your name, I was like, it came up with this thing, and I was like, well, that's intense. to a DNB bystander like myself, it's everyone in Otipote, I've been to parties where it's playing, but I'm not an active listener. Yes. DNB sounds like it hasn't changed a whole lot from what I've heard. However, I know nothing, and I want to know from someone who's a practitioner and has been in the game for a hot second. You know, how has it been changing over the past few years since you've been in it?
You see, when I first started, it was around about the COVID time, and so it was really popping off at that point. And I definitely feel like there was a lot more of the melodic drum and bass, which I personally really resonate with probably more, and then Jump Up has kind of had its moment recently or is having its moment, and... Yeah, I guess where I come from, it's like I just want to do exactly what I want to do. I don't really feel like I need to follow the trends and stuff. So I haven't really dabbled in the Jump Up scene, but I know that that's definitely been what's big recently.
Mm-hmm. Is Jump Up like the kind of web stuff we see in Castle Street and Otipoti's in Eden?
Yeah.
Right.
Which is like great for like 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, if you are indulging in certain substances and so on and so forth. have you been to a Castle Street party before?
I actually haven't.
Really?
I did once. I went like in my last year of uni though, so I kind of missed the boat on going in like second year. And I think I went to one thing or something, but it's a bit weird when you're coming as an outsider. I definitely feel like you have to really be there in Dunedin to experience Castle Street.
Yeah, and you have to have a tolerance for shitheadery, because I can't deal with them. I can't deal with the Castle Street people.
Fourth year probably wasn't the right year to go.
Anyway, I want to talk about the track. I saw there's a quote you said. I feel like there's so much emotion that gets lost in over-engineering electronic music, and that you wanted to hold on to the imperfections, the grit. That's where the real feeling lives. That's what you said about this track. You know, has that rougher around the edges approach been a recent facet of your music making, or has it been like kind of a constant?
I think it's been something where sometimes when I have ideas, I really love them, and then sometimes they get overdone a little bit, and then I'll pull up the old version of the song and I'll be like, this has so much more feeling to it. And a lot of the time with all of the tracks I've been writing recently, we actually go back and we like just go back to one of the older versions and then finish off the song from there, because we realised maybe we pushed it a little bit too far. I think it's a really fine line though.
So say like in the future, how far would you go with this approach? Like how lo-fi would you want to get?
Probably like this. This is probably the safe area. Optimistic.
Yeah. Have you heard Against All Logic?
No.
So they're kind of like a soul electronic-y housey thing that gets really, really lo-fi. I recommend giving them a gaze if you're wanting to hear some of the kind of more rusty sounding stuff. But yeah, I do appreciate that there's a lot more texture with your one. Doesn't sound super glossy, which is sick. The track is kind of a middle finger. I can't change you. It's kind of a middle finger to people who have doubted you, and somehow you can turn their misgivings into inspiration. When did you realize you could do that? Because I don't think I could do that.
Oh my gosh, it was the reason I even got into songwriting in the first place. It just was a way for me to deal with my big emotions and kind of turn all the sad stuff and all the angry stuff into something that actually really positive.
Mm.
I've always gotten a lot of therapy from that.
Yeah. So being able to translate other people's annoyance about your music for whatever reason, that wasn't too hard to do. That was just like, oh, okay, this is just second nature.
It just like comes out, it flows out of me.
Mm-hmm. That's a real good skill, man, because I think that's a good way to live a bit more pain-free,
Yeah, well, it's like something really bad might be happening, and it's like, well, at least I can get something good out of it.
Yeah. Would you ever think of intentionally, like, rage farming to build up, like, inspiration and some kind of artistic spirit?
I used to sabotage myself quite a bit with, putting myself in situations where I was like, I know this is stupid, but maybe something like will hurt me and then I want to write a song about it. But I'm a little bit more controlled than that now.
I'm glad to hear. And speaking of sabotage, you've put out a new track called Sabotage. It came out before this new one, I Can't Change You. And the cover art for Sabotage is you with a knife. And I guess this track's lyrical content, of course, is about rejecting haters. And, you know, are you entering a new era of kind of taking no prisoners and standing up for yourself more so?
I think, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Nice. And do you think that will be reflected in an upcoming project? Do you have any LP, EP, album type stuff in the works for 2025?
Yes. So these last couple of releases have been part of what I'm going to release as an album, which is really exciting for me because it's been something that I kind of thought that other people could do, but I could never do. So it's been really cool to have a real body of work that's just my own.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's going to be coming out later this year.
Can you reveal any details? A name? A month of release? Anything at all?
Up to you. I'm still trying to pick with the name. I'm really struggling with that one. But I want to kind of go along more of the lines of like it's a mixtape rather than an album, because it's got that raw feeling to it. It's not super polished in the way that some other music might be, especially in the electronic space. Like, it's just got that raw feeling to it. So I just want it to kind of keep that somehow. So I need I'm still working on the name. And then with the month, it's going to be a little bit up to how I'm going overseas as well.
Mm, true. Have you been, because this is your first body of work that you're publishing, have you been kind of courting advice from other electronic musicians as to some do's or don'ts or some kind of tips or tricks? Or are you just kind of relying on your own instinct?
Kind of just sending it.
Full sending.
Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, hopefully we can expect to see that around the music sphere in Dunedin, in New Zealand, soon enough. Will you be playing in Aotearoa, Dunedin, before you traverse to the United Kingdom?
Yes, I have two final shows. So one in Christchurch and one in Auckland on the 16th and 17th of May, which I'm so excited for because I haven't played a bunch of the songs that are coming out on this album ever. So I'm going to play that all and get some footage and just have fun.
Mean. Oh, so you're going to Ōtautahi, but not Ōtearoa.
No, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. We're used to people not coming in. No. Well, thank you for your time and coming on the program today and talking about this new track, I Can't Change You. Is there anything you'd like to leave our lovely listeners with there, Pons?
No, I think just look out for the upcoming stuff. I'm really excited about where this is all heading, and I'll see you guys again soon in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming on the program. If we don't chat when the mixtape album releases, I wish you all the best with your trip overseas and your move to Bristol. I hope it treats you well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for playing the track.
Oh, no stress. No stress, man. All right, folks, that was Pond coming to us live from the Big Smoke. Tanaki Makoto, we're talking about their new track, I Can't Change You. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we have another corridor, this time with Mehana Potiki Grayling. We're talking about the upcoming Stand Against Transphobia protest, which is going to be very exciting. Here is Pond with I Can't Change You. You're listening to The One, Ka Kite.
My priority. Got a hold of me. Is the way you talk, how you feel about us. It's a remedy just to see you bleed. Thought I wouldn't bite, watch me light it up.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.